You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, speaking of New Year's, let me ask you, how are you doing with your New Year's resolutions? Time for a check-in. We're 6 days into the new year. How's it going, guys? You know, I have a theory that, New Year's resolutions are made to be broken, mostly because they're action-oriented, they're discipline-oriented, and not goal-oriented, not reward-oriented. Think about it. When we talk about New Year's resolutions, we tend to think about and talk about things that we have to do, right? Like, this year, I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to save some money. We typically talk about things that we have to do. Maybe there's something you need to stop doing. You know, if you're going to lose weight, I'm going to stop eating junk food. Maybe there's something you need to start doing, right? I'm going to eat healthier food, right? I'm going to stop blowing money on things that, you know, aren't worth it. And I'm going to save money and invest and do something smart with my money. It's action oriented. It's discipline oriented. There's something you need to do. But here's the problem. We don't like disciplines, do we? They don't feel good. They're not fun. They're not in and of themselves motivational. Disciplines are not motivational. Can we just be honest? But you know what is motivational? Goals, especially goals that are tied to rewards. Because rewards are motivational, aren't they? Yes, they are. I mean, stop and think about this. What if we change this up? Let me give you an example. Instead of saying, you know, I'm going to lose some weight this year. What if a bride was getting married and said, I'm going to lose some weight this year because I want to fit into my wedding dress. See how the motivation changes? I promise you, I do a lot of weddings. Brides are motivated to lose weight to get into that wedding dress. Now, I know not everybody's getting married this year. So maybe for you, it's I want to look good in my bathing suit in a few months from now. Come on. You got to change it around. Think about it's not just, this year. I'm going to quit smoking, but I'm going to quit smoking because I want to see my grandkids grow up. See how the motivation changes when there's a reward attached to it? And not just, I'm going to save money this year, but I'm going to save money this year so we can take that family vacation that we've always wanted to take. See, there's a difference. We're more motivated when we know the reward, right? We're motivated to pursue something when we know the reward. It's amazing the lengths that we'll go through to achieve something when we know the reward, because rewards are motivating. It's amazing the lengths we'll go through. It's amazing the lengths that we'll go through. It's amazing the hours that you will give up, sleepless nights to get a graduate degree because you want to advance in your career, isn't it? It's amazing the hours that you'll put in at the office to get that promotion. You'll work for it, right? Because you're motivated. It's amazing. It's amazing what some guys will go through to pursue a girl. Come on, guys. When you had your eye on a certain girl, when you fell in love, when there was a girl you wanted to pursue, you were willing to go to great lengths. Yeah, you started shaving more often. Your personal hygiene routine went up a few notches. You started cleaning your apartment more. Come on. You started shopping at the stores that she liked to shop at and started wearing the clothes that she wanted you to wear. You started watching chick flicks with her because you were willing to do whatever it took to pursue that woman. Come on. You know what I'm talking about? I remember when Amy and I, you know, we fell in love and I graduated Bible college and I had my first job teaching. I was fresh out of college. I was broke. I was a poor first year teacher, but I wanted to get engaged. I'm telling you, I was motivated. I scrounged for every penny. I saved every dollar to buy this girl an engagement ring. I would have borrowed money from the mafia if I had to, because I was going to put a ring on this girl's finger. You know what I'm talking about? I was motivated. It's amazing the lengths that we'll go through to pursue a reward when we know the reward that's before us. Now, we've set a goal for this year to grow spiritually, haven't we? That's the goal before us. We want to be closer to God. We want to grow spiritually. We want to have more of a sense of God's presence in our lives. We want to hear his voice. We want to be walking in step with him. We want to see every area of our life more submitted to him, to know him better and to love him more. And that's a great goal. That's our motivation. Now, there's some disciplines, some things that we have to do to get there, right? Like, we're going to start off 21 days. Prayer and fasting. Come on, starting tomorrow, make a plan. Go home today and make a plan. What am I going to do to remind myself to pray? I'm, I'm going to follow the social media feed from church. So when I see that proverb come up each day, it reminds me to pray. I'm going to have a plan for fasting. If you don't have a plan, it won't happen, right? I'm going to double up and I'm going to fast and I'm going to use that time for prayer. So I'm doing both and I'm going to meditate on God's word. That's the discipline. In fact, we're in this series called Proverbs. One of the things we're doing is we're prioritizing the wisdom of God for the new year. How many of you could use some more wisdom in your life? Anybody? If your hand's not up, I'm worried about you because we could all use more wisdom, right? And so we're prioritizing the word of God and the wisdom of God. I want to encourage you, you need a place to start with your Bible reading plan for this year. Read a proverb a day. Wonderful thing about Proverbs, it has 31 chapters. You can read a chapter a day. We're on Proverbs chapter 6 today. So if you're late to the game, just jump right in. Tomorrow's the 7th. You can read Proverbs chapter 7. It's a great, simple way to kickstart your Bible reading plan. Okay? And so we're teaching through the book of Proverbs. We're laying this foundation for wisdom for the year. By the way, if you weren't here last week, go back and listen to the first message because I gave some foundational ideas for you to get the most out of this series. But anyway, those are the disciplines. Those are the things that we need to do. We're going to fast. We're going to pray. We're going to meditate on God's word. But we got to keep the reward in front of us. See, disciplines don't motivate you. It's the reward that you have to keep in front of you. It's knowing that I'm going to be closer to God. I'm going to have less fear, less worry, less doubt, less anxiety. My marriage is going to get better. My finances are going to get better. The condition of my heart and soul is going to get better as I discipline myself to pursue my relationship with God. So I want to encourage you as we go into 2019, keep the reward in front of you. Keep the reward in front of you. And so here's the amazing thing. We started talking about prioritizing wisdom in our lives last week. And I have good news for you. It comes with rewards. There's a rewards program at work here. You rack up some points. There's some rewards at work here when you pursue the wisdom of God. In fact, Proverbs chapter 3 gives us some ideas. It describes some of the rewards of pursuing wisdom. Look at this. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Solomon said this, "Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed." Now that's a picture of blessing, isn't it? That's a description of the blessings, of the rewards of pursuing a life of wisdom. How many of you would like to experience some of those rewards? How many of you would like some of those phrases to describe your life, right? Blessing and long life and riches and honor and a peace-filled life. Those things sound pretty good, don't they? Those are the rewards of pursuing a life of wisdom. And you know, more important than things like riches and honor, I think there's one thing we all have in common. We all want to live well, don't we? Every person in this place, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are in your spiritual journey, whether you belong to this church, whether you're used to being in a Bible teaching church like this, it doesn't matter. One thing we all have in common, we all want to live well. We all have this sense that life is short and it's passing us by quickly. We all have big decisions we need to make. We all have daily decisions we have to make. Some of you, you're in a season right now. As we begin this new year, you have some big decisions to make this year. There's some things that you're weighing on and thinking about, and you need wisdom. We all want to treat the people that we love better, don't we? We all want to be more wise with the way we handle our finances. And so this is our goal. This is our goal. We want to keep in front of us this blessing, this sense of reward, that there are good things in store. You know, the scripture says in the writer of Hebrews that God is a rewarder of those who bless, of those who diligently seek him, right? Like, that's what it takes to pursue God. You have to believe that he rewards and he blesses those who seek him. And so we want to keep the motivation in front of us. Here's the idea, the rewards of wisdom. The rewards of wisdom inspire the pursuit of wisdom. If you don't hear anything else today, I want you to know that today. This is why would we begin our year this way? Why would we start off the year by disciplining ourselves with prayer and fasting and, you know, spending time in God's word daily? Because the rewards of wisdom, they're worth it. The rewards of wisdom will inspire the pursuit of wisdom. Now, I want to give you a few ideas about that. In Proverbs chapter 2, Solomon gives us some ideas about the pursuit of wisdom. We looked at chapter 3, we looked at some of the blessings, but let's back up a chapter and talk about the pursuit of wisdom and what happens when we live our lives this way. I'm going to invite you to take some notes this morning. When you came in, you should have received some note sheets. If you have the Redemption app on your phone, there's a spot where you can take notes on the app. If you don't have that, you can get it at our website. But let me give you three reasons to pursue wisdom from the book of Proverbs chapter 2. And I want to encourage you to write these down today. Are you ready? Here we go. Number one, three reasons to pursue wisdom. The first one is this: pursuing wisdom sets a solid foundation for life. It sets a solid foundation for life. Look at this, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Solomon writes this: "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Here's the first idea. Pursuing wisdom sets a solid foundation for your life. Look at verse 5 again. It says, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God." Now, we talked about this idea of the fear of the Lord last week in our introduction to this series. What does that mean, Pastor? Does that mean I'm supposed to be afraid of God, like terrified of him? I thought God was my friend, thought he was a God of love. Well, this idea of the fear of the Lord, it means the reverence of God. It's to live with this sense that I want the blessing of God in every area of my life, and so I'm going to submit every area of my life to him. Like, my will is submitted to God's will for my life. It's the sense of, God, I want to love you with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength, love my neighbor as myself. Like, God, my life is submitted in reverence to you. And so verse 5 says, when we pursue God, it leads to this understanding of the fear of the Lord, living a life submitted to him and to the knowledge of God. This is about building a foundation. This is about building a solid foundation for your life and for the year ahead. You know, one of the fascinating things about living, you know, in the New York City area is the skyscrapers we have, and not just how tall they are, but if you know anything about skyscrapers, how far down they go, how many floors down they go, you know, and the foundation that goes into these buildings. In fact, there's a new skyscraper going up by Grand Central right now, and I remember peeking through the construction fence when they first started working and seeing how far down they were going, because in New York, you got to build down before you build up. And that's a principle for our lives, church. You got to build down before you build up. You got to build down. You got to have a solid foundation. You want to have the best year of your life ahead. You want to grow spiritually. You want to get closer to God. You want to lay a solid foundation for every sphere of your life. Build down before you build up. And here's what the verse says. Then you will find, as you pursue wisdom, then you will find the knowledge of God. It's this idea that we know God. We sang about that a moment ago. It's to know God. It's to know his presence in our lives. It's to know his word. It's to know his character. It's to know his principles. The writer of Proverbs, King Solomon, says this is the source of wisdom. Knowledge of God, the knowledge of God, knowing him, that is the source of all wisdom. We looked at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 last week, most famous proverb probably. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? See, this is the source for becoming an excellent person, for a life well lived. Now follow the pattern here, okay, in these verses. The pursuit of wisdom leads to the fear of the Lord, living with this sense of reverence for who God is, in every area of your life, honoring him. From there, we come to the knowledge of God, and the knowledge of God produces a life of wisdom, a life of wisdom. And you know, this is so important because we talked about last week how there's so many sources of wisdom these days. Everywhere you turn, you know, we live in an information world where you can Google anything. Everybody's got an opinion, a lot of competing ideas out there. Everybody's a self-help expert. There are bloggers, YouTubers, you know, motivational speakers. In every direction, there are life coach experts. And you know, we also live in a culture, kind of a postmodern culture, that has this idea that truth is relative. Like, your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. Doesn't that sound nice? Yeah, let's all just coexist. Your truth is your truth. And listen, I'm all for tolerance. Trust me. I understand we live in a multicultural, diverse society, especially here in New York as New Yorkers. It's just part of life. Okay, we're going to encounter people from different religions, different backgrounds, different political affiliations and ideologies, whatever. I'm all for finding the good in each other. I believe all truth is God's truth. Wherever you find it, he's the inspirer of truth. Never be afraid of where you find truth, because God is the author of truth. But this idea that, like, everybody's truth is equal is just crazy. Because see, it holds up really nice until you meet someone crazy like a white supremacist who says, well, my truth is that white people are better than everybody else. And all of a sudden you're like, no, I don't really believe your truth. That's messed up, right? Because something inside of us knows that's not truth. Like we have a moral compass on the inside of us. So let me just tell you, let's not go through this world confused about truth. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we have a basis for truth. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit, God-breathed, inspired Word of God as a foundation for our lives. There is no need for us to be confused, to be stumbling and bumbling through this life when we have such a solid foundation. We have a place of truth, and it's a truth that can be tested out and lived out in the real world. Yeah, it holds up. See, it's not like the commands of God are just arbitrary. No, this stuff, you can build a life out of this stuff. As you begin to encounter the wisdom of Proverbs and you go out and live your life, that there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. There's wisdom in guarding your heart. There's wisdom in guarding the words that come out of your mouth. There's wisdom in how you pursue your career and your work ethic. There's wisdom in the kind of people that you allow to get close to you and influence your life. I promise you the Word of God, the wisdom of the Word of God will hold up. This is real life stuff. This is stuff you can build your life on. Test it, probe it, go out and live it. The people who wrote down these words, the people of God who wrote down these words, wrote them because they lived it out. It was experienced, it was lived, and they, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, preserved it for you and for me. So pursuing wisdom helps us to build this solid foundation that every one of us needs for our lives. Here's the second thing, pursuing wisdom. We're talking about three reasons to pursue wisdom in this new year. Setting down a strong foundation. Here's the second thing. Pursuing wisdom safeguards your path. It safeguards your path. Look at this, verses 6 through 11. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in blameless, whose walk is blameless. Look at verse 8. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. See, pursuing wisdom, it safeguards your path. It safeguards your path. Think about it. When you drive, we need signs to help us. We need guardrails to protect us. We need signs to tell us, slow down, the exit's coming, and you have to get off here. It's a sharp turn, right? Because those things protect you. This past summer, I took my family to the Grand Canyon, and we have a picture there. And we had such a great time. It was beautiful. And one of the most amazing things is some of the most popular lookout points are actually really dangerous. Like, stay, you know, you can stop and take a picture here, but there's a sign saying, don't go past this point because you might fall into the Grand Canyon. You're going to get an up-close view of the Grand Canyon that you don't want to get, right? So there are, like, fences everywhere. And a lot of places there are like barriers and there's signs like saying, don't go past this spot because it's meant to safeguard you along the path so you know where you can go and where you can't go, where there's danger. And the Proverbs operate the same way. The wisdom of God operates the same way. It protects us and it keeps us on safe paths. It helps us with discernment. It helps you exercise your discernment muscle. Come on, we all want to get stronger this year in our discernment, right? Wisdom, training your mind and wisdom is how you exercise your discernment muscle so that you can make the right decision in any situation. Because you're going to face a lot of different situations this year, aren't you? You're going to face a lot of crossroads, a lot of daily things that you need the wisdom of God. And so Proverbs helps you keep your path straight, who you can trust, who you can allow to come into your life, how you should spend your time, what you should believe, making the right decisions, how you should spend your money. Because what happens with you and me is we can easily veer off of the path without realizing it. And we need boundaries, don't we? We need boundaries. God is a loving heavenly Father. He wants boundaries for his children. How many of you parents know that your kids would be in trouble without boundaries? Come on, kids don't like boundaries, but they need boundaries. Without boundaries, your kids would eat chocolate for breakfast every morning. They want to know why they can't have that, right? Because you're trying to give them some boundaries. You know, when I was a teenager, I would have stayed out all hours of the night if my parents hadn't given me boundaries and given me a curfew. When my boys play in the driveway, I especially remind the younger two, stay away from the street, right? I don't need them chasing a ball out into the street and getting hit by a car. Why? Because I love them and I want what's best for them. They don't always like the boundaries, but I know what's better for them than they do. Come on, God is your loving heavenly Father. He is for you. He wants you to live a blessed life. He wants you to walk in wisdom. He wants to guide your path. And so he's put some boundaries around you in the wisdom of his word to guide your life. And so this year, as you come into this new year, let's be really attuned to the fact that some of us need to make some course corrections, don't we? Because see, here's the thing about straying off the path. You get off by one degree, and it's not so bad at first, but after a few years, you end up drifting way further than you ever meant to. And we drift without realizing it. And so let's come into this new year and take spiritual stock of our lives. God, where do I need some course correction? God, what have I allowed to come into my mind? Where do I need my mind to be, renewed? What have I allowed to come into my heart? Am I harboring unforgiveness or bitterness? Or have I let someone influence my life who really shouldn't be speaking into my life? God, where do I need to make a course correction? And the wisdom of God will train you in that. And it'll help set some boundaries for you. We're going to talk some more about that next week, but that's one of the blessings of pursuing a life of wisdom. Is this good? You guys awake? Here we go. The third thing, three ideas we're talking about why we should pursue a life of wisdom. The third thing is pursuing wisdom redirects our desires. Pursuing a life of wisdom will redirect your desires. What does that mean? Look at verses 16 through 22. Skip down a few verses. Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman in her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be torn from it. Here's the third idea, pursuing wisdom. It redirects our desires. So here we have a very powerful illustration, right? The adulterous woman, this seductive voice. And in fact, there's a few characters that you'll see repeated throughout the Proverbs. And they're kind of archetypes. They're characters that represent something. There's the adulterous woman. There's the wicked man. You'll see the fool. Those are three kind of characters that we encounter as we read Proverbs. And they represent something. This passage isn't just about adultery, although it makes a very poignant point, right? But the point is that there are these seductive forces that would prey on our desires and cause us to fall into sin rather than follow the ways of God. And so the adulterous woman and the wicked man, they represent these forces that call out to us, okay? Here's the idea, okay? We all want the good life. Everybody wants the good life. It doesn't matter who you are, what you believe in. We all want a good life. We all want to live with a good life and live well and be blessed. But the idea of the Proverbs, the wisdom of the Proverbs is this: the good life cannot be separated from the virtuous life. A good life cannot be separated from a life lived unto God. A good life cannot be separated from holiness. A good life cannot be separated from the virtuous life. Discipline and desire and responsibility cannot be separated. And see, that flies in the face of the culture that we live in, the culture that tells us constantly that the path to the good life is self-fulfillment. See, in 1,000 different ways every day, you and I are bombarded by this message. The prevailing message of our culture is that the path to the good life is to actualize every desire that you have in your heart. Do what you want with who you want. Do what makes you feel good. Live for yourself. Make yourself the center of the universe and you will be happy. And we don't quite say it so explicitly like that, but everything that's marketed to us, our entertainment world, like these are the values of our culture. This is why we find these shows on Netflix so fascinating, where people go after power and they have power and riches and all these things, and they'll do whatever it takes to get those things. We find those kind of shows fascinating. They entertain us because they are conveyed to us as a form of the good life. It's just that the problem is, we finish a lot of these shows that we watch and we kind of feel empty because it was entertaining, but there's something deep on the inside of us that knows, like, nobody could really live that way and live happy. Are you with me? Like, nobody can actually live that way. Like, it's entertaining, junk food for your mind, and I'm not coming down on Netflix. I'm just saying these are the kind of things that entertain us, and suddenly they're being communicated to us like, this is the good life, when the reality is we're like, no, I would never really want to live that way. It's fascinating to watch other people live like that, but that would be an empty form of life. So let me talk to you about this for a moment. What do we do with this whole desire thing? Let me get one thing straight, okay? A lot of people kind of misinterpret Christianity, get the wrong idea that Christianity is about never actualizing any of your desires, never enjoying any of the desires and cravings of your flesh. So even as I say that right now, you're like, yeah, probably not. No, here's the reality, okay? God is the author and creator of desires. Okay? God, there is nothing happening on planet Earth under the sun that is pleasurable that catches God by surprise. Food and drink and sex and rest and recreation and vacation, none of it surprises God, okay? God looks down on planet Earth and sees people making love. He is not ashamed and embarrassed. He is the author and creator of the planet. Come on, you gotta perk up a little bit, wake up. Talk about it every day in the real world. We can't talk about it in church. God is the author and creator of pleasure, of our desires, okay? The Christian life is not about eradicating your desires. It's about redirecting your desires so that they bring glory to God, because there is a right way to express and explore your desires that brings glory to God. that truly fulfills the desire of your heart. I put it this way, that, you know, desires are like rivers. Now, many of you know, I grew up in the city of New Orleans and on the Mississippi River, and we got a picture for you. I used to actually ride my bike along the levee on the Mississippi River, and right there in the foreground is a great picture. There's a levee there, right there on the river with the city in the background. And here's the thing, you know, rivers are very important, aren't they? They're important for commerce. They're important for moving goods. In fact, the Mississippi River is probably the most important river in the United States for as far as commerce, riverborne commerce goes. And rivers are sometimes important for drinking water. But here's the thing, you want rivers to stay within their levees, don't you? Like rivers are great as long as they stay within their levees. When rivers go over their levees or break through their levees, bad things happen, don't they? Catastrophic flooding and destruction. And why is that? Because a river is a powerful thing. And it needs boundaries. It needs to be protected. And there needs to be some boundaries that channel it. But here's the amazing thing. When you have boundaries in your life and you channel that river where it's supposed to go, it can be used for powerful things, can't it? Here's the idea. God put desires in your heart. It's not that they're bad, but when you add the wisdom of God to discipline the desires of your heart, then they can be channeled to become something very powerful. Then you can fully express them and find them in ways that you never could have outside of God's plan and desire for them. So the book of Proverbs is not some prudish book that's about saying no to everything that's fun. No, it's about saying yes to the way that leads to life. Are you with me? God's answer for you isn't just no, it's yes to the way that leads to life. He's that Heavenly Father looking after you. He's that Heavenly Father who knows what's best for you. He wired you from the inside out. And you truly find fulfillment when you walk in his ways. He created the universe, and wisdom is the blueprint of his universe. And as you begin to discover wisdom, you begin to come into sync with his principles, with his plan, with his ways, with his design. And that's a life well lived. How many of you know when your kids listen to you, they experience life in a better way? Come on. They experience the things that you want them to experience, the good things that you have for them. You're trying to show them. Don't do too much of that, right? Stay within the boundaries here, because I promise you, you will enjoy life better if you listen to my wisdom. I heard on the radio the other day that one of the most Googled questions of 2018 was, how do I become a better person? How do I become a better person? Let me ask you this question this morning, church, on the brink of 2019. How many of you really want to be a better person this year? You don't have to raise your hand, but I hope your hand's raised in your heart. How many of you really want to be a better person this year? I know I do. I think one of the things that we all have in common, we want to live well, because we know that life is short, isn't it? We're not always aware of it, but every now and then we have these moments that wake us up and remind us life is short. It's flying by. Blink your eyes and it's over. Blink your eyes and your kids are growing up. Blink your eyes and your kids are going off to college. Blink your eyes and you're older. You're not getting any younger. Life is flying by you, and there's a sense that every one of us, we wants to live our life well. We want to live life with wisdom. We want to live like a good life. Like one day when hopefully you're full of many years, when it's time for you to go home, when you want to look back over your life and say, man, I lived a good life. You can truly say with conviction in your heart, peace in your heart, peace in your mind, my life wasn't a waste. I lived a good and pleasing in a life of wisdom. A life I can say I made some mistakes. It wasn't perfect, but it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. God, I lived well. God, I pursued wisdom. God, I prioritized the things that needed to be prioritized. Come on, isn't that what we're after? Isn't that our heart's desire? See, life is too short. Life is too precious for you and me to mess this up. We don't have time to be going through this life confused. We don't have time to be distracted, to be following every voice that would seduce us and call us off the path. No, we want to be people who live lives of wisdom. Come on, let's pursue the wisdom of God as we go into this new year. Let's build a foundation like never before. God, my life will honor you. God, my path will be directed by you. God, I want to hear your voice. God, I cannot live without you. God, I cannot go into 2019 without a sense that you are with me, that you're guiding me. God, I need you in my home. God, I need you if you're married, in my marriage. God, I need you in my family. God, I need you in the workplace. God, I need you in my decisions, in my finances, in my career. God, I cannot live without you. I've got to have this foundation. Come on, if that's your heart's desire, stand with me. We're going to pray into this for just a moment. We're going to receive communion in just a few minutes, and the worship team is going to come back. But let's take a moment to pray. And if you'd like to commit in your heart with me, church, commit in your heart with me. And I just believe we're better together. I just believe when every one of us is in this together, there's something that happens. Listen to me, church. Just stay focused for a moment. We're a family. If you're new to our church, this church is a church family. If you're looking for a home, we say welcome home. But we're going to cheer each other on. We're going to cheer each other on. We are not in this by ourselves. And so we're going to pursue this life with God this year as a church family. We're going to encourage each other. But let's start today by making our own personal commitment in our heart. God, to pursue you, to know that the fear of the Lord, the reverence of God is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for your great grace over our lives. God, we thank you that you desire to give us wisdom. Father, I thank you for the promise of your word that says whoever's without wisdom, whoever lacks wisdom, God, if we ask for it, God, you're no respecter of persons. You want to give it to us, Father. You'll give it to us. Lord, today, that's our heart's desire, that we would be people of wisdom. God, this morning, we purpose in our hearts, we commit in our hearts to pursue your wisdom as we begin this new year to set a solid foundation of pursuing your wisdom, God. Not the fleeting wisdom of this world, but the wisdom of God that has stood the test of time. Now, God, we ask you to help us as we go into 2019. Show us the areas of our lives where we've strayed a little bit off the path and we need to be redirected, God. We want to recalibrate as we go into this new year. We ask you to search our hearts. Renew our minds, oh God. And Lord, we believe that in the year ahead, we can say it is well with my soul. We will live a good life, a wise life, a life well lived for your glory. In Jesus' name, let it be done. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.